You are invited to join us this Sunday morning at Denver Bible Church to worship God and study His Word. At 9:30, Pastor Bob Enyart's verse-by-verse Bible study will help you to gain new understanding of God's Word. The Bible study is followed by a time of fellowship at 10:30, then join our worship team in praise and worship of our Creator God at 10:50, followed by Pastor Enyart's sermon. Denver Bible Church meets at Two Roads School at the corner of Oak and 72nd Streets in Arvada. Join us this Sunday at Denver Bible Church, and bring your Bible.
So let me get this straight. A bus explodes in Tel Aviv and a rocket is launched out of Gaza and the Israelis have agreed to a truce. Is that okay? Have I awoken in an alternate universe? How can that be? Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I'm Doug McBurney, sometimes host of the Weekly Worldview over at theweeklyworldview.com. And available at iTunes for your entertainment and edification. Feel free to join me. I do the show almost every Sunday, and it's on the internet, and it's the greatest thing since such things have begun. Did I say that I'm not Bob Enyart? Did I already point that out? Bob is working against the forces of darkness. Let me just read this from the New York Post. In papers filed in Manhattan Supreme Court, the National Public Radio show Science Friday producers, that's Science Friday Inc., say their trademark on their 21-year-old show has been jeopardized by a Colorado radio talk show host's Real Science Friday program, hosted by Bob Enyart and Fred Williams. The show features the duo talking about, quote, science to debunk evolution and show the evidence for the Creator God, including from biology, geology, astronomy, and physics. Enyart told the New York Post that he's been doing the show since 06. He said he had received a polite letter from Science Friday, from their host Ira Flatow. He said he got that letter a few years ago. They asked him to change the name of the show, but Bob was busy and he never responded. So now Ira and the other folks at Science Friday have filed a lawsuit, basically coming after everything Bob has, and then some, basically trying to destroy him and take everything they can from him. I just got off the phone on my way here into the studios on the special bat line, got off the phone with Bob. He's been huddling with lawyers and other folks, and in the past 4 days has already spent $4,000 just on the initial phase of the lawsuit, and Bob has not secured reliable legal representation as of yet. Although he is working on that, so I think he's paying as he goes right now. So $4,000 in just the last few days, just trying to, I don't know. I think you file some papers and you make some motions, and he might have to fly to New York on a moment's notice because they're suing him in Manhattan. Anyway, folks. These heathen atheist evolutionists who are out to destroy the nation and your children are coming after Bob Enyart and Real Science Friday, one of the last bastions of truth left on the planet as far as the media goes. So it goes without saying, if you can help, please help. Call Bob Enyart live. The number's 800-836-9278. Write a check for as much as you can possibly give. I myself will be giving sacrificially this week to Bob Enyart Live. And let me remind you what sacrificial giving means. Sacrificial giving means that you're giving more than makes you comfortable. You know, if you're just giving out of your excess, well, that's wonderful, and God bless you, we could use all the money we can get. I say we. I just want to point out to the lawyers that I am not officially associated with Bob Enyart, Fred Williams, or Real Science Friday in any way. In fact, I've never even heard the show, just in case they're listening. But Bob Enyart Live, Real Science Friday, could use all the help you can give. And if you give a little bit and make yourself a little bit uncomfortable, like you write the check and you say, boy, that's a lot. I don't know if I can afford that. I do that sometimes with my church, and it motivates me to work harder because I make myself a little bit uncomfortable with my giving, and that in turn makes me a cheerful giver because it motivates me. I don't know if it'll work for you, but we sure could use your help. We meaning people other than me, people completely unassociated in any way with me. Bob Enyart and Fred Williams in this case, Real Science Friday, Bob Enyart, Inc. Okay. Now, I want to open the show. It's too late. I've already opened the show, but I wanted to open the show with this statement to see if there's anyone out there who disagrees with me who might want to call and give a defense for their position. It is my contention that if you are a Christian, if you are named a brother and you send your children to a government school, you are sinning against God, you are sinning against your child, and you will be held to account for that sin. Remember, sin means missing the mark. Sin. It's a sin, I'm saying, to send your kids to the public school. I've got a lot of stories, but I just want to open with this. By the way, that statement has cost me relationships. It has cost me friendships, and it has cost me in my professional life because I have said it to people in a professional setting out of concern for their own children after hearing horror stories from them about what their kids were coming home from school with. And I said that, and it has cost me a little bit materially. And I'm saying it here on the air today because I know that driving stuck in Thanksgiving traffic right now, by the way, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you pour down upon this nation, even though we so do not deserve any of it, Lord. We thank you for that. Amen. I know there's someone driving in Thanksgiving traffic right now who has experienced some horror story at the hands of the government schools today or in this past week, who's wondering what they should do. And I'm speaking to you. I'm saying, if you know sin and you do it anyway, then you're sinning. And I'm telling you today, it's a sin to send your kid to the public school. If you're doing it, you're sinning against your child, you're sinning against God, and you need to make a major change in your life. If you agree or disagree, give me a call, 800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. Don't sin against your children. Don't sin against God. Get your kids out of the public school. I've got a story from the Sun-Times out of Maine. That's the state of Maine for all you public school graduates and educators. In a suit filed Monday against the Maine Township High School District, a claim's been made that three Maine West freshman students were sexually assaulted during a soccer team hazing ritual at the school. According to the attorney, after the victims were promoted from the freshman team to the varsity soccer team, the coaches ordered what they call a campus run, which is a term which was a code word indicating that it was time for the hazing ritual to commence. Well, at that signal, the campus run, team members grabbed the plaintiff, tore off his pants and underwear, held him down on the school soccer field, and I don't even know if I want to say what they did to him. But it has been alleged that it was a sexual assault by soccer players on other male soccer players. Just unbelievable. The lawyer says that kind of behavior in today's society is disgusting. It is never to be condoned, and it should never have happened. Okay, that's the lawyer for the plaintiff. I'm not sure what the lawyer for the defendants are going to say. They're going to say, hey, it's a government school. We teach the kids that they evolved from animals, that there is no God, that there are many alternative lifestyles, and perhaps sodomizing a fellow soccer player is just one of those lifestyles. I mean, once you throw the creator out, once you throw the foundations for morality out, how are you supposed to confront kids who are behaving, well, like the animals that you taught them they are? Anyways, so if you're sending your kids to the government schools, please stop. Stop sinning. I know there are a few other hosts who encourage you to get your kids out of the public schools for very practical reasons. But we here at Bob Enyart Live encourage you to do it for eternal spiritual reasons and for the health and safety of your own child. Okay, so everyone agrees with me in the audience, even you, stuck in traffic, struggling with what happened to your kid at the government school this week. Even you agree with me. Well, that makes me feel better that everyone agrees with me because I'm right. All right, now, let's go to an update. Yesterday, you heard the tale of how an alleged serial rapist was nabbed by the government. I've got some updates. A story from the Denver Post that's gone nationwide. We just saw it running in the San Francisco Chronicle. The Denver Post reports that the suspected serial rapist, linked by DNA to three sexual attacks on strangers, one of whom was a 13-year-old girl, also has close ties to some of Colorado's high-profile Democratic politicos. Yeah. When William Costello was arrested in Bayfield back on November 5th, he was volunteering to drop off yard signs at a Durango campaign office and was driving the car of a top Democrat political strategist. That would be Mike Stratton. So the alleged serial rapist was driving around in Mike Stratton's SUV. Mike Stratton is called by the Denver Post a go-to Democrat political consultant. He's the go-to guy when it comes to Democrat politics in Colorado. And he happens to be friends with the alleged serial rapist, William Costello, and an alleged, what do you call someone who assaults other people? Do they have a term for that? An assaultist? You call him a thug. Alleged thug, William Costello. I got that from my producer. It's not an assaultist, it's a thug. Thank you very much, Daryl. He assaulted Everett Stadig. Everett Stadig, a personhood petitioner, was out gathering signatures. You know the story. Mr. Costello became enraged. Now, any one of us could be friends with a serial rapist. I'm not pointing out that the Democrat Party should be associated with serial rape. Now, serial plunder, I would have to say that the Democrat Party must be associated with serial plunder of the Treasury and of all things that are good and holy and sacred. But it must be disturbing for these high-powered Democrat politicos to find out that their sometime on-again, off-again friend, every one of these Democrats in the story, there's Mike Stratton. He says, I worked with the guy, you know, I've known him on and off, mostly off. And Dick Lamb, former governor of Colorado. Oddly enough, it's funny how things are coincidental. I think coincidence is one of the evidences of our spiritual nature. Were we not spiritual beings, we would not be able to recognize coincidence. And here's an interesting coincidence. Dick Lamb, former governor of Colorado, who as a legislator early in his political career, April 1967, introduced the first bill to legalize the killing of babies. That was Dick Lamb. He introduced the first law to legalize baby killing in Colorado back in 1967. His son happened to be a friend, on again, off again, mostly off again, I'm sure, if you talk to Mr. Lamb's family, happened to be a friend of Costello when they attended a local government school together. Yeah. Dick Lamb, what does Dick Lamb have to say? The father of legalized child killing in Colorado. His son's friend assaults a personhood activist, and not just a personhood activist, someone who's been involved in fighting against Dick Lamb's crimes against humanity. For the better part of two decades, maybe three decades, maybe four decades. I mean, Everett's 69 years old. He's been at this for quite some time, ever since Dick Lamb and the others denied the personhood of unborn babies and declared it legal to kill them in certain circumstances if their fathers were criminals or if they were particularly inconvenient. Dick Lamb says, regarding William Costello's arrest and the fact that he's been charged with three different rapes, Dick Lamb says, it just makes you shake your head. He was the kind of guy that mothers would be so pleased to see their daughters walk off with on a date. That's William Costello, alleged serial rapist. Dick goes on. He was tied in with some very prominent Colorado names who mentored him, and we're all in shock right now. Well, you know, the only thing that shocked me about the case was the fact that this fellow, William Costello, was charged with second-degree assault instead of first-degree assault. Now, I don't want to get into the vagaries of the Colorado reversed revised statutes, but basically, assault in the first degree, let me just give you the short definition. Assault in the first degree is committed in Colorado under circumstances where the act causing the injury is performed upon a sudden heat of passion caused by a serious and highly provoking act of the intended victim. So the fact that Everett Stadig is asking for signatures to outlaw abortion, I think that could be reasonably understood to be something that provoked a sudden heat of passion on the part of Mr. Costello. And it seems to me that all other things being equal, this was a simple first-degree assault. Everett did something that freaked this guy out, and this guy assaulted Everett. Oh, by the way, now Everett Stadig is 69 years old, and he's in relatively decent health now. He's recovering from the broken hip and all. But, you know, if you had a lineup of guys and you had to pick one to get into a fist fight with, you'd probably pick Everett first because, your average, what is Mr. Costello's 47 years old, and he assaulted Everett because Everett inflamed his passions, I think. I mean, any reasonable prosecutor or law enforcement official would look at, well, a man who broke his hip just by falling off his bike or being knocked off his bike against a 47-year-old man, enraged, according to witnesses, shouting profanities, shouting that he believed in abortion. Obviously, he was inflamed. His passions were inflamed. And he assaulted Everett and caused serious bodily injury. Looks like a simple first-degree assault. But how did he get charged with second-degree assault? I have a theory. I have a theory that, and I wonder if any of Denver's local talk show hosts will be encouraged to look into this case, because it is an interesting case. My theory is that William Costello was hoping that because he's a well-connected politico type, that he could talk his way into a third-degree assault, which is a misdemeanor. But he wasn't able to do that. No matter how much shucking and jiving he did, no matter what names he dropped, the law enforcement officials on the scene were only convinced that they could, well, we could lower it to a second degree, I suppose, because there are some vagaries in the law. But Mr. Costello may have been quite concerned about being charged with a felony, having left his DNA all over three separate victims in Colorado, one of them being a 13-year-old girl. So my question to local Denver media types is, was the politically connected William Costello angling and trying to talk his way into a third-degree assault charge, a misdemeanor, so he could avoid the DNA test, and it didn't work? Well, maybe it's not that interesting a story because it didn't work, and they got Mr. Costello's DNA, and now they've got Mr. Costello. See, pro-life work can be rewarding in many different ways. And we want to thank Everett Stadig, and we want to thank the police, whichever police department it was. Where was that anyway? Thank you to all the police in the whole state of Colorado, frankly. We're glad you're out there, because there's so many maniacs and deranged heathens out there that we definitely need that thin blue line. And we appreciate all the police and the prosecutors who decided to file a felony criminal charge against Frank, not Frank Costello. Wasn't Frank Costello a famous gangster? William Costello, I'm sorry. William Costello, not to be confused with Frank Costello, who probably had some redeeming qualities as opposed to... here's the kicker. Mr. Costello, 47-year-old healthy young man, told authorities that he grabbed the clipboard from Everett Stadig, 69 years old, so as not to be struck with it. He says he thought Everett was going to strike him with the clipboard. So he grabbed it, and the 69-year-old man fell. So obviously, law enforcement and prosecutorial officials heard that story, and they looked at Mr. Costello, and they looked at Everett Stadig, and they said, well, wait a second. I think Everett probably could have hit Mr. Costello numerous times with the clipboard and not rendered any injury to Mr. Costello. So anyway, that's my theory. Another politically connected Democrat trying to angle out of responsibility for what he's done goes down. Hey, are we still doing the telethon, or has that died a natural death? It's okay. Well, folks, we very well may be setting up a legal defense fund in the not-too-distant future for Bob Enyart, Inc. and Real Science Friday. And so even though the telethon may be over, the need for funds has probably just increased exponentially. What with the courthouse being in Manhattan, they sued him in district court in Manhattan just to make things as expensive as possible for Bob. You know how these lawyers operate. You know, they try to scare you into settling. So they throw a torrent of paperwork at you and threats and fear. It's legalized terrorism, in my humble opinion. Me not being associated in any way with Fred Williams, Bob Enyart, Inc., or Real Science Friday, by the way, just in case their lawyers are listening. But anyway, we could use your help. And I've already talked about the government schools. We've established that the entire audience agrees that sending your kids to a government school is a sin against your child. It's a sin against God, and it's a sin for which you will be held to account on Judgment Day. And I have already asked for anyone who disagreed to call, and nobody has done so, establishing that statement now as a fact. And I do appreciate that. Anything else on Mr. Costello? This is encouraging. As of last Monday, or this Monday past, the Colorado Bureau of Investigation has recorded over 75,000 DNA samples from individuals charged with felonies since Katie's Law took effect. Katie's Law is the law mandating that anyone charged with a felony has to surrender DNA. Those samples have yielded almost 400 hits on unsolved cases. That is awesome. I know that for quite some time, Bob Enyart Live has advocated for a national DNA database. The day you're born, or shortly thereafter, we should all have to submit our DNA to a database. That's fair enough. I mean, God has the database anyways. It's not like you're going to get away with anything, okay? He's going to be able to match it all up in the end. So why not defer to him and say, look, Lord, we already know that you know, so we're going to go ahead and do our best to find out as well. All right. Any other interesting news? I want to talk about justice. I'm almost out of time. This show is far too short. I want to petition the folks at KLT right now to give Bob Enyart a full hour. I think we just need some advertisers to step up and do some advertising. Bob could definitely use an hour. All right. New York City, the city where the lawsuit against Real Science Friday has been filed. Story from the Associated Press. Sesame Street Workshop now says that the voice of Elmo, one Kevin Clash, he has resigned from Sesame Street in the wake of another allegation that he, I don't even want to say what he did, but he did it with a young boy, teenage boy. Clash denies the charge. He says it's false and defamatory, and he resigned. And we'll find out about Mr. Clash, the voice of Elmo. He's been the voice of Elmo since 1983. I didn't know Elmo had been around that long. Of course, I stopped watching Sesame Street in 1975, so I wasn't familiar with Elmo. But I've always known there was something I didn't like about Sesame Street, and that's reason 632 not to watch Sesame Street. All right, you've heard Bob call it just a system. Well, listen to this. This is from the Daily Mail in London. Prisoner James Washington was having a heart attack when he called a police officer over to his hospital bed back in 2009. What was happening? Well, Washington had long been linked to a 1995 murder, the murder of Joyce Goodner. She was found stabbed in the neck, beaten to death with a cinder block, and set on fire in a Nashville, Tennessee house. A lack of sufficient evidence had kept the police from charging him. Well, Mr. Washington was in prison in 2009, and he had a heart attack. He was in jail for a completely unrelated crime. So when he was escorted to the hospital with severe chest pains, there was a police officer nearby. He told the police officer, transport guard James Tomlinson, he told him, quote, I killed somebody. I beat her to death. Washington then proceeded to recover from the heart attack, made a complete physical recovery, and has since been sentenced to life in prison. Now, some of you may say, well, see, there is some justice. And I would just say that upon confessing to murder on your deathbed, giving the police the one piece of evidence they needed, perhaps he should have been executed. No, not perhaps. He should have been executed. Keeping this guy alive is an affront to justice. And when you allow the justice system to produce affronts to justice, what you produce is a disrespect for justice. Case in point, Martinez, California, from CBS in San Francisco. 49-year-old Nathan Burris used a shotgun to kill his ex-girlfriend and her male friend at a toll plaza back in August of 2009. Burris was representing himself in the Contra Costa County Superior Court trial earlier this month. And toward the end of the trial, he snapped his fingers in court and told the juries, quote, I'm guilty, unquote. He then said he had no remorse, no regrets, and he asked them to convict him quickly so he could get back to his cell to watch Monday Night Football. Burris faces a death penalty phase of the trial if he's convicted of murder with special circumstances and all of that. So he knows he'll still die an old man, and he'll get to watch Monday Night Football every Monday night. He has no respect or fear. And whose fault is that? Well, mostly it's his fault. But there is an infrastructure of generations of lawyers and judges and legislators who bear some guilt as well. And then there's you and me. If we don't speak up and try to peacefully change things, we bear some guilt in the fact, the undisputed fact, that our justice system is now just a system that produces not justice, but a lack of respect for justice. And in fact, insults justice on a daily basis. And Mr. Nathan Burris saying, convict me quickly so I can watch my Monday Night Football, is just the latest piece of evidence. All right, folks, that's the end of the show. Send Bob some money. We're going to set up a legal defense fund. National Public Radio and Science Friday are coming after everything he's got. And we need your help. God bless you, and do right and risk the consequences.
You can support the ministry of Bob Enyart Live by subscribing to Bob's monthly Bible studies, monthly videos, monthly sermons, or monthly classic TV shows at kgovstore.com. You can also support the show and make a monthly or one-time donation by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.